Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My question is for the Leader of the Government and the Senate, and it comes today from Jeffrey Robinson, who divides his time between Ottawa and California, where he's a history professor at UCLA. Professor Robinson's question is as follows. As a Canadian born and raised in Ottawa, who has spent many years living in California, I'm dismayed by Canada's recent expansion and embrace of mandatory minimum sentencing laws. Such laws have backfired badly in the U.S., so badly, in fact, that jurisdictions across the country, including the federal government, are now rolling them back. Rather than deter crime and create a fairer judicial system, mandatory minimums in the U.S. have resulted in an oversized, overcrowded, and enormously expensive prison system. A shift of judicial discretion away from judges into the hands of prosecutors, and the imposition of sentences for minor nonviolent crimes so breathtakingly long that respected voices from across the political spectrum are now arguing for a repeal of this type of legislation. The American Bar Association has stated that, and the quote is as follows, sentencing by mandatory minimums is the antithesis of rational sentencing policy. U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder, the country's top law enforcement official, concluded last year that because of such legislation, and I quote from Attorney General Holder, too many Americans go to too many prisons for far too long and for no truly good law enforcement reason. Even the conservative criminal justice initiative Right on Crime has come out firmly against the American over-reliance on mandatory minimum sentencing. The United States' experiment with such legislation has not only been an unmitigated policy failure, it has affected hundreds of thousands of real people, mothers and fathers, husbands and wives, neighbors and friends, whose lives have been devastated by years, sometimes decades, of needless and counterproductive incarceration. My question, that is Professor Robinson's question, is on what specific evidence is the Canadian government basing its expansion and embrace of mandatory minimum sentencing policies that are known to have failed elsewhere? And before the Leader answers, I should point out that Professor Robinson is in the gallery today.
Merci, merci, sénateur, pour votre question au nom du professeur. Donc, professeur, au total, depuis 1892, 53 peines minimales furent introduites au Code criminel. De ce nombre, à 18 reprises, ce fut fait par un gouvernement conservateur et à 35 reprises par un gouvernement libéral. Jean Chrétien a adopté 11 peines minimales, 8 en 1995, 3 en 1997. Sous le premier ministre Paul Martin, 9 peines minimales ont été adoptées, donc toutes en 2005. Pierre-Éliott Trudeau a adopté 7 peines minimales, 2 en 1969, 4 en 1976 et 1 en 1977. Donc, pour notre part, 2 peines minimales ont été adoptées en 2009, 3 en 2010, et il y en a quelques-unes qui sont actuellement sous étude. Donc, les peines d'emprisonnement obligatoires pour nous montrent aux Canadiens que les droits des criminels n'empiètent plus sur ceux des victimes d'actes criminels. Nous avons instauré des peines obligatoires pour que les agressions sexuelles envers les enfants, les crimes graves commis à l'aide d'une arme à feu, la conduite en état d'ébriété, la vente de drogue à des enfants soient punies. Et malheureusement, pour ces peines, nos amis en face ont voté à l'encontre. Mais il nous apparaît important de démontrer aux Canadiens ce genre de gestes, de crimes graves, doit être puni sévèrement.
Supplementary. The Leader has on other occasions recited this chronology of the introduction of mandatory minimum sentences, and he's perfectly correct that other governments, not just his government, have introduced mandatory minimum sentences into the Canadian criminal law. The point is, as Professor Robinson has pointed out, all of the evidence which I've seen, both in Canada and in the U.S., points to the fact that these policies fail to do precisely what they're intended to do, and that is to deter criminal activity. Professor Robinson's question is not to give a recitation of the introduction of mandatory minimum sentences, but to give him and us and give the Canadian people what evidence that your government is relying on to continue to reinforce and expand this failed practice.
C'est évidemment, c'est la pure logique que lorsqu'un individu est en prison, il ne court pas les rues, il ne peut pas commettre des actes criminels. Et lorsque j'étais au comité des affaires juridiques et constitutionnelles, un des exemples qui me revenait souvent, c'est les peines minimales en matière de conduite en état d'ébriété. Donc, vous allez pouvoir étudier les chiffres et vous allez pouvoir voir que lorsque les peines minimales ont été introduites et augmentées en matière de conduite en état d'ébriété, notamment, il y a eu une réduction importante des infractions.
Well, I certainly agree with the leader that as long as one's in prison, they're not out there committing crimes in the public. But that's the question is whether there is any evidence to support that this kind of regime of mandatory minimum sentences does anything to deter criminal behavior. That's the point. The point is not just to punish the people who commit the offenses, but surely one of the objectives of our criminal law regime is to discourage people from criminal behavior and to deter that behavior. And my question again, Professor Robinson's question is, what evidence does your government have for its continued reliance on what has been demonstrated by all of the studies that I've seen, both in Canada and the U.S., to be a failed experiment? What evidence do you have? Can you point us to some studies that would indicate that?
Je suis un peu surpris que vous ayez besoin d'une preuve pour démontrer qu'un individu qui est en prison ne peut pas être à risque de violer un enfant. J'ai de la misère à voir comment vous voulez avoir une preuve de cette évidence. Ça me paraît d'une clarté. En ce qui a trait aux études, particulièrement en matière de conduite en état d'ébriété, les statistiques sont très claires que lorsque les peines minimales ont été introduites en matière de conduite en état d'ébriété et que la peine était connue, les gens, il y a eu une diminution des infractions qui ont été constatées de façon importante.